You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry leading minds.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Ice House Podcast. My name is Briar Stewart. I am the community manager, and I get the privilege of chatting to people that are part of our network, part of our community of business owners, and in this case, business coaches. And so today we're having a conversation with Craig Neal. He is a new coach here at the Ice House, and this conversation's purpose is to get to know Craig, his experience, and what he's passionate about. So thanks heaps for your time today, Craig.
Thanks. I loved the privilege of being here. It's great. Appreciate it.
No worries. Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, as you know, we like to start with some quick fire. So I like to ask this first question, bit of fun. What's your coffee order?
A small flat white. Strong, stronger the better.
Nice. I'm with you on that one. First ever job.
McDonald's restaurants. Part-time after school, and then that turned into full-time. So McDonald's in my blood early on.
Awesome.
That's super in the veins, cool. As they say.
Yeah, I like that. Awesome. When are you most relaxed?
With hanging out with friends, I think. People that are close to me and having a good chin wag and solving the problems of the world, I think, is when I'm most relaxed.
Cool, that's
depending
good.
On the problems, of course. But
exactly, I was like, those combos can sometimes go two ways, but I'm glad it's mainly relaxing, those conversations with friends. When are you most productive?
I think after exercise. I get a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of a high. Probably don't do it often enough, so maybe that leads to a little bit of unproductivity. Exercise, love getting out and about. And mountain biking.
Good fun. Favorite spot in the world?
Chamonix in France. For the township and the ski fields.
Do you spend lots of time there?
Have been there a couple of times, and will no doubt go back. It's such a beautiful part of the world. Nice to hang out and great to ski.
Very cool. And what is a book or a podcast that you recommend?
Oh, look, I can't go past Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think it's my go-to and a book that I've lived in and out of and recommended to other people. Some really good basic premises for living life.
Great answer. Awesome. Well, yeah, you passed the first test of fun, quick-fire questions. And we'll jump into some of the deeper questions about yourself, Craig. So I'd like to start with this one. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're passionate about.
Certainly helping other people. I think I've worked hard through various management positions throughout my, corporate career and own businesses. And now I find my passion is really about giving back and taking some of the lessons, not always the good lessons, the sort of life of hard knocks, and helping other people find a path that is more optimal is certainly my career passion, and personally from a family perspective, fortunate enough to have a new grandchild. Having family around and those friends to hang out with and relax with a bit of exercise.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think your passion for helping others, has that over time become a bigger part of your world, or was it always part of, how did that look for you?
I think early on, as we all are in our careers, while we're climbing either the corporate ladder or aspiring to earn more money and own things, it tends to be a little bit more selfish. Selfish about those that you're caring for and that are dependent on you. But for me, as that sort of middle-aged and having enjoyed the fruits of working hard, then very much just the natural desire of wanting to help others and wanting to see others progress in a similar way.
And your career journey, what has that looked like? You know, we've touched on a few things, but what does it look like, and how has that then led to helping others through business coaching?
Yeah, lots of management positions. I think in my late teens, in the McDonald's days, I was thrust into running shifts and looking after staff, and then in finishing university and being invited into McDonald's as a career, it was all about managing groups of people. And I think as much as the focus in a management role in that environment is about revenue and about making money, for me, the passion was enabling people to be able to do their jobs a whole bunch better. So my management passion, my management strength was always working through others to mm-hmm. achieve the results. And it got to a point maybe 10 years ago where I wanted to study and take people development a whole bunch more seriously.
Yeah.
Fortunate enough to be in a position that I could afford to step off the the hardcore money-making venture mm-hmm. of working in corporates or owning one's own business and take time out to learn, study, and gain a whole bunch more knowledge about helping others. So having always had a passion for managing people and looking after people in teams that I was responsible for, I wanted to formalize that in more of a way that meant I could work alongside, coach, guide, facilitate, and help people get the best out of the situation mm-hmm. that they found themselves in. From a business perspective, my connections that I've built up over the years just naturally took me back to business owners and helping career people in some of the corporates that I'd worked in. The intricacies of being a business owner and managing the commercial side of things while looking after oneself and looking after a group of employees was a balance that I was naturally attracted to and have found that helping business owners identify and develop their talent and look after their talent and then around their own personal goals and aspirations is a bit of a sweet spot.
That's really cool to hear. What was that study you formally did?
I was fortunate enough to have a couple of years of gap year for education, and I did a professional coaching diploma out of the Southern Institute of Technology, and I did a diploma in positive psychology out of the Langley Institute in Australia.
Wow.
Happened to do a ski instructor's qualification at the same time as part of a GAC year that was spent down in Wanaka. While I studied, of course, in the evenings and played during the day. So it was kind of ticking off a few bucket lists at a time that just wanted to move in a different direction. And I knew I needed to take some of the books I'd read, the theories that I'd researched, and formalize it and become a little bit more academically qualified to be able to work in the coaching field.
Wow, that's so, so interesting. And yeah, I you know, obviously you hear about gap years prior to sort of jumping into the corporate world, or but to hear it, you know, a little bit later on in the piece is a really interesting perspective. How did it feel for you? Sorry, I'm already completely going off script, but that's fun. How did it feel for you jumping out of the corporate and management space into that gap year or two to study? Did that bring up anything for you?
It kind of felt natural. It happened progressively. I was doing project management consulting, become self-employed.
Yeah.
Wanting to work more for myself.
Yeah.
Was fortunate enough with a wife that was very supportive of me taking some time out and just taking a step change. I think we get to, it was probably middle age back then, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more than middle aged. I think we spend a whole bunch of time aspiring to certain goals, having a vision for how we want to live our life, and then more often than not through that mid age, you get the opportunity to reflect on where it's going and how you'd like to live the second half or the second chapter
yeah.
of of what you contribute to. And I decided that I wanted to work with people first and foremost, and help people from the perspective of putting their best version of themselves forward in the business world, and particularly where people own their own business.
Very cool. Thank you for unpacking that. Very interesting. And I can obviously tell that you're very passionate now about what you do. Now looking at that sort of second chapter of life and jumping into it. So I'd love to hear, what does a day in the life of Craig look like now?
Well, a whole bunch of different things. I think the value of making a career change was any one day is not the same. I am spending time probably relative to what's happened with the pandemic, relative to what's now happening in the economic cycle of business owners, doing a lot of problem solving, getting out of bed in the morning and I guess reflecting over a couple of cups of coffee, which is you asked what I was passionate about. A good cup of coffee is certainly what I'm passionate about. Helping business owners solve problems is what I find a day looks like on any given week or week of the month.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and helping those business owners more and more. I think my age and my experience lends me towards working with baby boomer business owners, and there's a whole bunch of us on the cusp of being a baby boomer that are looking towards their retirement. Bouncing around on any given day, just having coffee chats with as many business owners that are looking for help with their next transition is really what a day looks like. No one day is the same.
I love that.
Great. Exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Great variety. So you were based in Wanaka for those 2 years. Whereabouts are you based now?
I live in Blenheim. We were fortunate enough. My wife and I went to Dubai after being down in Wanaka for just a season. I think I was only allowed to be down there skiing for 4 months. So I used the time I had, and then we went to Dubai and I finished my study. Living in Dubai, and while my wife worked for Fonterra. When we came back, we knew we didn't want to go back to Auckland. We've lived there all our lives, and we wanted to try a different part of New Zealand, and an opportunity came up to move to Blenheim. And I've been basing myself in a really nice house, nice part of town, with a great bunch of friends and now business acquaintances down here in Blenheim.
There's such a great business community down there. Every time I go down there, I'm just like, wow, there's something about that sort of local connection, right? That makes it a special place to be.
Yeah, and this part of the world really loves Ice House. There's a whole bunch of companies, and as you well know, that and individuals that have been through the various programs. And I think that was another one of the connections for me in joining Ice House, was that so many people down here talk so highly of the participation that they've had and the contribution that Ice House has made. So there's a couple of people that I'm having sort of those coffee chats with that are already associated with Ice House, and maybe it's the opportunity to get a whole bunch more people through the programs as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, love to hear that. What's one thing you wish you knew at the start of your career journey?
Yeah, I don't know that it's career related necessarily, but I think one personal thing that I wish I knew was to listen more and speak less. I think at the start of my career journey, I think I was pretty bulky in regards to what I think I thought I knew and how I thought I could manage to achieve results. And I think looking back, there was more that I didn't know than what there was in regards to the knowledge that I had. So listening more, speaking less, and one of those covey habits of seeking first to understand, to make sure that I don't make too many assumptions and have the true picture of a situation. I think that would be very relevant in any role that I had played looking back. And I think probably through various stages at each progression through management, probably got a little bit more bulky in what I thought I knew. And then I think you get to a certain age when you realize it's a whole bunch more to find out.
That's really
being open to learning more about other people and gaining more knowledge. And I guess that's somewhat 10 years ago. Decided to take that a bit more seriously and go educate myself some more.
Very cool. I love that. You're now a coach. What would you say your expertise is in coaching specifically?
Certainly with business owners and understanding the stresses and strains of owning a business, the commercial reality of making a business work, while balancing what's going on personally. And I think that the battle that particularly somewhat middle-aged and even males, dare I say, go through in regards the battle to achieve and be successful and have their business being seen as being super successful at the expense of themselves something that I think I've seen and observed. And I think that that's probably my strength, is to be able to help a person, a business owner, understand that mix between what's best for them, what's best for their business, and how they and their business fit in.
Yeah, that's amazing. And even just from doing this podcast, you know, I've heard story after story of how hard it is to get that balance. And so such a great skill to come in and be able to guide business owners with those, I guess, that questioning to go, hey, have you thought about this? Hey, you know, what about this perspective? So I know that will be very valuable.
I think it's too easy to get carried away in running a business or even having a job and losing sight of one's personal purpose and why, and to take some time out and clarify that what one is doing is best for their well-being and bringing them joy. And I think helping unpack a person's reason for doing what they're doing and the reason that they want to achieve what it is they think they're striving for often helps people realign and readjust, maybe change jobs, possibly sell their business, maybe add to their business, but certainly helping them then understand that having or surrounding themselves with some good quality people is the key to moving forward.
Yeah, that's gold. Where would you say the best place for someone to start is if they're starting to maybe not spiral out of control, but sort of go like, okay, there's a lot on my plate, I need to realign. What would you say, just off the top of your head, would be a good place for someone to start in that position?
Being vulnerable enough to reach out and have a conversation with nearest and dearest and possibly seek more professional input. If it's not professional, an outsider's view. I think the challenge when we're any one of us are spiraling in some form or other is to lose sight of the perspective that one has of the situation. So having an opportunity to unpack and understand why they might be feeling the way that they are about the situation that they find themselves in, I think helps people come to terms with the cause and effect of a problem. I guess perception is reality, and when somebody can have a conversation with a third party in whatever form, it can be a best friend over a cup of coffee, it doesn't have to be somebody that they necessarily pay for coaching or advice, but being prepared to sit down and say, hey, this just isn't working for me at this particular point in time, being brave enough, being vulnerable enough to say something's got to change and I need to seek solutions to what or possible solutions before I even choose what the next approach may be, I think is the first step, is reaching out.
Yeah, I really like that advice and just taking everything that's going on your head out, you know, and actually being able to communicate it with someone else, I'm sure would be very helpful for business owners.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I think if every business owner or even every person could just find that person that helps them gain a different perspective, possibly a more healthier perspective, and helps them brainstorm and unpack what some solutions may be to the situation they find themselves in, I think becomes enlightening for people, and it lifts the weight off folks' shoulders if they can just take the time to have a chat.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really good. Thanks for unpacking that. As a coach, you know, I'm sure there's favorite parts of it and maybe challenges. What would be a favorite element of being a coach and maybe a challenge as well?
Yeah, the favorite for me is seeing aha moments. When you're having a conversation and you're asking questions, and then a person sits back and goes, "Oh, wow."
Mm-hmm.
They just see something that they've been struggling with in a different light.
Yeah.
That is really cool. And that's often about a conclusion that the person themselves has drawn. It's never something that is advised or given to. It's something that they draw their own conclusions.
Brilliant.
On the other hand, the challenge is not jumping in a coaching session in particular, and offering advice, offering solutions, because I've learned that one can never know exactly what's going on for any one person, even over a series of coaching catch-ups, and that the person themselves does well when they come up with their own solutions and they see things for themselves. So the challenge for me is with a few gray hairs and a bit of experience is not to make assumptions for any one person and jump to that I know what you should do.
Yes.
And just be patient and allow the layers of the onion to be peeled back.
That would be so difficult at times. I'm sure there's been multiple times where you've wanted to sort of jump in with your experience and go, "Hey, here's a 5-step guide to, you know, to achieving lots, this."
lots and lots. It's too easy to do, but I've learned, and even from a management perspective, back in the days of managing teams, is where you jump in and you might have an inclination to be a little bit too directive, a little bit too assumptive in regards to what solution is required. Often you can one can get that wrong. So the coaching approach and spending time having conversations with people about determining what's going on for them, it certainly encourages me to stay in that question space, in the discovery space, and help the person come to their own conclusions.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's so interesting. Would love to hear a little bit about how you have got connected with the Ice House, how that came about, and what drew you to the opportunity when it did come about.
Yeah, I've been following the Ice House, I guess, forever, and more presence that led by the likes of yourself that the Ice House has. They naturally pop up for me everywhere. And moving down here to Blenheim, I think it's one of the, and I'm only going on something that I read, but I think it's one of the highest per capita heads of population in the country for Ice House participation.
Yes.
So many business owners and so many employees have been through the program. So down here and moving here 3 years ago, Ice House was everywhere.
So cool.
And then a couple of people that I've worked with in the past have become Ice House coaches. And then one day on a plane back from Blenheim to Auckland, I sat next to a guy and we just started making small talk, and we found out that we knew a common acquaintance, and we were reminiscing on what that person did, and started asking each other what we did and how we contributed to what it is we did. By the end of that, person was inviting me to connect with Ice House and see if coaching was with Ice House was an appropriate thing to do. So I'm a strong believer in synchronicity, and when you meet people, you go with where that person kind of takes you on a journey. And that kind of joined the dots of then becoming an Ice House coach. So it's kind of meant to be, with certainly with moving here and the presence that Ice House has.
That absolutely sounds like it was meant to be. Very perfect sort of alignment there. Very cool. I would like to sort of make it really clear, you know, let's say someone's listening or watching this and goes, okay, what does coaching with Craig look like? What could they expect from a coaching session with you, and what does that first step sort of look like for them?
Certainly the first step is, I guess, in two stages. One is getting to know each other and getting an understanding for the person. If sitting and having a chat with me and enjoying coffee with me is something that they might enjoy. And then the second stage of that is very much about discovery and seeking to understand what's going on for that person, and then coming to terms with whether I can help them in whatever form or way possible. And then I like to outline at least six sessions, I guess, or chats, coffee chats.
Yeah.
Where we unpack and peel back the layers of the onion in regards to the cause of the situation that they might find themselves in, or the project that they need to help with.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the middle of that sort of session of conversations is coming to terms with what they believe may well be the best outcomes for them. I guess it's concluding the ahas and agreeing, aligning a way forward. And then the back part of a program of coaching sessions is about moving towards a different sort of future. And shaping what that might look like, and then staying there with them on the journey for as long as they choose to want to have conversations with me. I like to think that at the start of getting to know a person that I'm coaching, is we spend a reasonable amount of time, probably a conversation each week or each fortnight,
right,
and then move it out to a month and a quarter as they very much find the interdependence, at least, to work on whatever it is they're doing more on their own. So my goal is to help a person not need so much of my time. The old, again, Stephen Covey saying of give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Is very much my MO. It's to arm a person with the resources and the tools so that they ideally don't need so much of my time and attention or conversations with me. And I love when we get to the point of a person really concluding that they're on the right path, and they're certainly operating within their own resources to their optimal level.
It must be so rewarding to sort of go through all those phases and get to that point that you're maybe catching up with them once a quarter and hearing the update and just being able to see it take that little bit step forward, but knowing they're on such a clear path must be rewarding.
Yeah, there's a couple of three people that I've been now coaching for the last 3 years and coming back from Dubai. And when we have a conversation, and they might describe what it is going on for them at any particular point in time, in a very short space of time, they're providing the solutions. So they're coaching themselves and they're speaking to me in ways and referencing tools and resources that we might have I might have presented to them at the start of the journey. And that's really cool. It's like, wow, you're coaching yourself.
Yeah.
You're now looking after yourself. You've kind of blossomed. And you, if I'm left asking myself, I don't really need to have a conversation with me, then it's been a success.
Yeah, that's very cool. Quite cool. You can see what success looks like as well on the journey as a coach and for the person that has, you know, committed to that coaching with you as well. Like that. Great conversation. Have definitely felt like I've, you know, got to know you more, Craig, and I'm sure our listeners, same with them. I want to finish with this one. What piece of advice would you have for a business owner who is looking to grow this year?
Find at least one, if not two, right-hand people. Make the business not about yourself, and make the business at least interdependent, if not independent, of you and your time. Pop yourself out the top of what it is you do and have your business as self-sufficient as the commercial metrics will allow it to be relative to how much that might cost. I think too many business owners make the business about themselves, and too many business owners hold on to the intellectual property and executing the key tasks, thinking that they are the most important person. So finding one or two people that may well be part of a succession plan in the future, but getting the joy out of developing that next level or layer of employees in your business is certainly, I think, what the future of then owning and investing and growing a business allows an owner to do.
Yeah. Awesome advice. I feel like this conversation is the type of conversation that I needed, like a notebook and pen and just writing notes. And I'm sure some of our listeners may be urged to do the same. But thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us, and really great to have you part of the network, Craig. Looking forward to seeing a lot of our alumni and business community work with you in future.
Good stuff. Thanks for the opportunity.